know enough about us. Even though Adam and Eve sinned, you knew it. You still decided to keep us. You could have stopped the presses and started all over. We would have never known anything. But because of your love, you decided that we were worth it. And for that, God, we give you praise this evening and give you glory and honor. God, we repent for all our sins and shortcomings. Ask you to blot out our iniquities and our transgressions. God, we want to hear you say, well done.
Well done.
Thou good and faithful servant. Lord, while we are in high expectation of your return, we pray now, God, for souls from the north, south, east, and west, that our light will shine, that we'll draw others to the cross of Calvary, that they'll come crying, what must I do to be saved? God, let us not forget our primary mission, to be light in a dark world. So let the light of Christ shine through us like never before, God. In the name of Jesus, in these dark times, I decrease that you may increase, that you may get the glory out of my life. I ask you now to work and speak to me and through me, God. And as always, we give your name all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. And let everyone say amen.
Amen.
And amen in Jesus' name. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Bill, my friend. Come on, let's give Pastor Bill a hand. Pastor Debbie a hand in her absence. I am so grateful for the friendship that we have developed and nurtured. And God has been blessing me through this relationship. I'm so glad to have met Pastor Bill. Glad for his heart for the people of the world, not just church folks, but people in general. I want to thank God for my lovely wife being with me today and tonight. My daughter being with me. They are my standbys. They are with me through everything. My boys at home, they said they had some homework. They had to finish up and one had a test. And I've been teaching them. We've been talking. We started a couple of Sundays on Sunday mornings, just me and them at church.
Yeah.
And we're talking about responsibility. And I said, okay. You need that? I said, yeah, remember responsibility. And the others want to say, yeah, I got to get this work done. I said, oh, but you got a responsibility to the Lord first. And I said, you been doing your daily Bible reading and your journal? No, I've been doing homework. No, it takes about 20 minutes. It takes me about 10 minutes. So it should take you about 20 minutes. So they're there doing that. And so we are glad to be with you this evening. And it is 7:25, so give me a few minutes. It won't be long. See me looking down more than usual. Had a snafu at work, so I had to take pictures of the computer screen of my notes. and so I'm preaching from pictures and not from notes. But turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. And go to the third verse, Matthew 24 and 3. And I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to come back and delve a little deeper into it. And let me ask you to stand in honor of the Word of God as I read this opening scripture. Matthew 24 and 3, and it says this. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You may take the seat in the presence of the Lord. What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? I want to talk to you tonight from the subject, why are we so surprised when we have inside information? Why are we so surprised when we have inside information? Anybody in here like surprises? Like surprises. Anybody here don't like surprises? whether you like them or don't like them, surprises are bound to happen. Surprises is a brief mental and psychological state that elicits a startled response that is experienced by animals and humans. It is a result of something that is unexpected, an unexpected event. Surprise can make you have a reaction that's either pleasant or unpleasant. Most of the time, surprises catch people off guard and elicit a response of shock and amazement, bewilderment, stunned, just to name a few. While there are a number of things that can surprise us, such as a surprise party, a surprise visit to someone else's house, a surprise check-in, a surprise check in the mail, a surprise friend showing up, a surprise promotion. There are things in this life and in the world that as Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, filled with the Holy Ghost of God people that should not be a surprise to us. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we ought to have a level of expectation that goes beyond those that are even in our family or that are next to us. See, one of the problems is that we have a problem of looking at surprises or with an expectation that is worldly. My tablet is not working with me, so just walk with me. We have an expectation that is based upon, thank you, Holy Spirit, that is based upon natural sight when it should be based upon spiritual sight. One of the problems we have in the church is not totally that our churches aren't full, but our churches aren't full with spiritual people. And we have a church full of people that come together to worship, and they come together and lift up the name of Jesus, but we live worldly lifestyle. So our expectation and the results we get are based upon man and the world and not the Holy Spirit. Now, then we want to run to church and run to the man of God and come and ask and say, what happened? I don't know what happened. And we ask, did you pray? Huh? Let me give you something to read and go home and read and meditate on this. Huh? No, can I tell you something? There's no quick answers for long-term problems when God wants to get your attention.
Amen.
You see, we are surprised when Hezbollah started firing rockets into Israel. As Christians, why are you surprised? It shouldn't catch up. Why? Matter of fact, let me ask you this. As believers, why are you even nervous?
Come on now.
Why are you even afraid of the pandemic? Now, I'm not saying don't be careful. I'm not saying don't use wisdom. What I'm saying is that we are not people that are prone or should be prone to fear. Because we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
The problem is we walk in by sight and we pick up faith on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights.
Mm.
You see, faith is a lifestyle, not an event.
Mm.
And what's happening is we want an event relationship with God. See, we don't want to marry God, we want to date Him. Y'all see my tablet and word of the Lord. We want to hook up with God. We want to go by. I'm coming by at 9 o'clock. I'm coming by at 8 o'clock. Pick you up, Jesus. And we're gonna go hang out. But the Lakers play at 10:30, and so by 10:30, I got to drop you off because I got to watch the game. And then because the game don't go off till 1:30 in the morning, I can't make our appointment in the morning for prayer time and for fellowship. And so then you get to work, and the boss is on another level. Your coworkers are acting like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Your computer is acting up and everything is going crazy on the job. And you're sitting there saying, Lord, help me. He said, I was going to help you last night, but you dropped me off, girl. See, we're living in a day where people want to hook up with God, but don't want to be hooked up to God. And so what has happened is what the pandemic has did. I preached last summer, Pastor Bill. I preached the message of a pandemic push. Because it was either going to push you towards God or further away from God. And so what the pandemic has shown, if we were really honest, as pastors, it showed us who was really with us and who wasn't. But the bigger picture, it should have shown individuals where they were with God. Because the first Sunday church was closed, he was like, oh, man, the church closed. The second Sunday, I got to get home. But by the fourth Sunday, he said, I ain't even putting on no clothes this Sunday. I'm going to pass the bill on. Then by the sixth Sunday, you put them on, but you put the phone on the thing and held it up there while you was frying eggs. The next Sunday, you didn't even log on for the worship portion just to hear. And then one Sunday, you just forgot. You didn't oversleep or nothing. One thing about it, we can go back and we can look at the numbers. But you really shouldn't be worried about us looking at the numbers. You should be worried about him looking at the numbers.
Amen.
And so as believers, we shouldn't be surprised because we have inside information that has been granted to us so that we won't walk in fear, so that we will not be caught off guard. But the problem is, we haven't read the information. Here in our text today, Jesus has the disciples, let's look at the first verse. I'm sorry, I didn't tell them that. But Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to him, showing him the buildings of the temple. Yeah, excuse me, I'm reading the New King James. I just use the traditional, so I'm catching myself. And they showed him the buildings of the temple. They showed Jesus, look at the temple. Look at all this. Look at this bling bling. Look at the cathedral. Look at Solomon's court, this, that, and the other. Jesus said, assuredly I say unto you that not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. We always want to show God what we did. Man is always wanting to run up to God and says, look at me. Look what I have done. Look what I have created. And Isaiah says something like this. He says, shall that which was created look at the creator and say, look at me? Or shall the clay look back at the potter and say, look how well I look? Do you not remember that the potter is the one that made you? And so Jesus is saying, every time someone throws something up to try and show Jesus something, Jesus got to bring it right back down. They said, oh, look at the temple. Look at all of this, Jesus. Believe me, there shall not be one stone left upon another. And knowing Jesus, he probably kept on walking. What? So he goes here, the 13th verse, excuse me, 3rd verse. Now he said on the mount, all the disciples came to him probably tell him, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the age. Now they're asking him for inside information so that they wouldn't be surprised. Now, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you. First one, spirit of deception. The key to Satan's power. He said, don't let no one deceive you. Now, I was thinking about this earlier, and I was typing, and the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my spirit.
When Jesus said, don't let nobody deceive you, yes, he was talking about people like Jim Jones and David Koresh and all of them. But there's some deceivers in the church house. Because they are. They prophesy and they profiteer. Going back to Isaiah. Isaiah said, if they speak a word and say it's from the Lord, and the thing come not to pass, then you shouldn't listen to them anymore. That's the way the Message Bible put it. But if it come to pass, that means the Lord was in what they said. First of all, in this dispensation, if someone comes prophesying to you, the prophecy should edify you and it should line up with the word of God. So if prophet whatchamacallit is down the street and you go down to the other church because they got a prophet in town and you didn't talk to Pastor Bill about going, the Pastor Bill would have warned you not to go down there because that's what the man of God, that's why God sets the shepherd over the house to protect the sheep. But you go out there and get sheared by someone else because you don't want to listen to instructions, but that's a whole other message. And they tell you, they prophesy to you that God is going to pay all your bills and that you're going to have checks coming in the mail and the job you thought wasn't yours is going to be yours and you don't pay tithes and offerings, they prophet lying. Because it don't line up with the word of God. He says, be careful, don't be deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Many will be deceived. Many have been deceived. Many are currently being deceived. The internet has so much misinformation that you miss the correct information. Because we want to read in too many bites. We want to read in too many clips. We want to read, but we want to read and get a snippet and not get the whole thing. And you get a word out of context and you run with it and wind up shipwrecking. Then you got to come back here. Pastor Bill and Pastor Debbie got to take time from moving the ministry forward because they got to have surgery on you. He says, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. You'll hear about it. It's going to continue. I'm sorry. God has given us, Jesus gave us his peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth peace. I'm sorry. Let me stop here and just tell you now a public service announcement. There will be no peace on earth until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
But the inside information is that you and I can live a life of peace in the midst of peaceless situation.
Go ahead now.
He said, wars and rumors of war. He said, look, see that you're not troubled. Don't let it bother you. You're getting off. Oh, did you see the news? Did you see what happened over there? Did you see what happened over there? Yes, pray it. Broke my heart. But I'm still getting up going to do what I got to do tomorrow. What are you doing? Looking out the window. See if I see COVID. He says you can't be troubled by these things. For all these things, look, must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Not yet.
Somebody told my wife the other day, I believe it's what they said. I mean, if I'm mistaken, forgive me. That we were already in the tribulation. They ain't studying their Bible. Because now, I give you a quick Bible study lesson. You have three schools of thought in Bible college. You have people that believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib for the rapture. Pre-trib means that we'll be raptured up before the tribulation starts. Mid-trib meaning at the 3.5-year mark, the church is raptured out. Post-trib is that the church goes through the tribulation and is raptured up at the end. I don't see it like that in my study.
Okay.
It's pre-trib. Because the Antichrist, when he comes onto the scene, he's going to make peace in the world. See, if you want to know whether or not it's the tribulation, when there's peace between Israel and all the Islamic nations. Amen. Amen. It's inside information, it's in there. So he said, don't be troubled. He said, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Nation against nation. Today, it's China and the Philippines over the waterway. Tomorrow, it's Japan and China. Next week, it's America and China. The week after that, it's America and Russia. Nation rising up against nation. But you shouldn't be nervous about it. We're going to go to war with Iran. We're going to go to war with Russia. We're going to go to war with this one right there. Jesus says, don't be troubled. This is supposed to happen. And if you have an expectation and excitement about the fact that Jesus is coming back to take us all home, then we got to get through. Can I tell you something? You got to get through the mud. You got to get through the terrain. You got to get through the jungle to get to the oasis. Yeah. Yeah. You got to go through something. These people, they're all over the internet, all over Christian, or Christian TV. You don't have to go through nothing. You don't have to endure nothing. Oh, you're going through something. I just, think that if God is yourself a persecution. I believe that's inside information. But I was reading in my Kingdom Man study today. And Dr. Evans had us reading the Beatitudes. This one for you, baby. Blessed when they persecute you. Amen. Put it in your purse, take it home with you. Blessed when they persecute you. You have to be in the bathroom cutting a step when they're giving you the business on the job. Oh, I must be blessed. There must be something that God getting ready to do for me that the devil you don't like, baby, bring it on. Because when I come out the other side of this, because my inside information tells me that I've already won.
Amen.
So watch this. Let's run through here. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. There is enough food in the world. You can Google it, you can research it. There is enough food produced in the world to feed everyone on the planet. But why do we have people starving? Because he said it would be like this. Now we're on a whole other side story. A little side journey. People are starving because of the greed of man. That's basically what it boils down to. And the waste of man. Because we throw away more food as Americans than some people eat to eat. So he says there'll be famines. These are signs. These are things we got to deal with. We got misinformation. And pestilence. Pestilence, plagues. Why was the church so surprised with COVID? The world had experienced the bubonic plague, black plague. There have been plagues since there's been mankind. And then we'll be continuing. See, we got too comfortable. Be careful when thou art at ease in Zion. Because God, sometimes the eagle has to stir the nest to get the baby eagle to fly up, to fly right, and to become adults and do what they're supposed to do. So the mother eagle has to pull the soft stuff out of the nest to make the nest prickly, to stick you, and to push you to make you get out and do something. You've been around here, see that? That's the problem we have with these 40-year-old people staying at home in mama house and don't work. have made it uncomfortable for them. They just lay around all day. I don't know what's wrong. Pastor, I want you to pray for him. Pastor, you don't need to pray for him. You need to make that joke and get up and go to get a job. All these folks out here hiring. Tell me, he want to ride somewhere? Ride him to an interview. And I hope that my daughter got me on Facebook now. For all you young women out there, you trying to find a man, if he don't have a job, and first, if he don't have a job and a car, leave him at the bus stop. Why do you need someone to take care of? They can't take care of themselves. Or refuse to take care of themselves. I'm going on. So there'll be pestilence, earthquakes in various places. They're earthquakes now, and they don't even put them on the news because they're so busy talking about COVID and other stuff. And then there are earthquakes that they show up on the Richter scale, but because they're in uncharted region or like in Antarctica and stuff like that, they don't publicize them, but they're happening. Water levels are rising. More hurricanes and tornadoes than we ever see. One of the reasons we have such a mass of people trying to get into America from South America and all that stuff there, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but I will say this. I've been to enough third world countries that if I was living in one, I'd be in a tunnel or on a boat too. Because you ain't been there. But one of the reasons is in a lot of the hilly areas and mountain regions in the South American countries, they've had so much rainfall that it has washed away the topsoil to where they used to have a business growing crops, that nothing can grow anymore. Right. Earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. The beginning. Wow. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. The word just said it's the beginning. And if we don't have inside information, and if we're not confident in God, if we're not sure in the one we believe in, we will be cuckoo for cuckoo bucks. We will be lost. We will be crazy. We will lose everything that we have. Why? Because we'll be surprised. And even at a birthday party, when they holler surprise, the first thing the person does is they give me fear because they don't know what just happened. But when you know what's going on, you don't walk in fear. I've never seen anybody scared when somebody jump out and say surprise or surprise party, and they knew you was giving them the party. These are the beginning of sorrow, and they will deliver you up to they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Besides, we're not fully in the tribulation yet. Because see, we still worshiping openly here. It's a magazine I get monthly. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. Powerful. You ought to read this when you don't feel like coming to church. You ought to read some of the stories in here. I'm going to read you a quick one real quick. Last December marked the second anniversary of China's raid on the Early Rain Church. On December 9th, 2018, authorities searched the church members' homes, arrested more than 100 members and leaders, including the pastor who served who went to jail. For 2 years, the authorities continued to harass church members. Roughly 2 weeks after the pastor was detained for worshiping online at his home, city officials cut off his electricity, cut off his water, his natural gas, and his internet service. They also ordered his landlord to force him and his family to move out the place. Police had previously expelled the elder and his family from their apartment and sat in his apartment just to observe them more closely. The pastor asked believers to pray. We must place our faith in God. We pray and put our trust in God that He will lead us through this difficult time. We pray the Holy Spirit in us will help us respond to our situations with gentleness and respect. Pastor Wang, who is serving a 9-year prison sentence, continues to encourage the Chinese Christians from his prison cell.
Amen.
You tired of a certain moment. There are countries, especially in North Korea, where we would take, where they would smuggle that Bible in, and they would take razor blades and they would split up the chapters. And so this week, Pastor Bill got Genesis, I got Exodus, you got Romans and stuff, and then every week we switch off. So that if they catch one of us with one section of the Bible, they won't get all the Bible. But we don't want to read ours. We don't want to open ours. A whole lot of churches, including mine, we don't even have Sunday school. Still trying to work, get everyone the Bible study. They'll deliver you up, and they will be the head of all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Offended, because you go to that church, you say this is right, and that's right, right. Well, I go to church. You just want a job, just talk to me. It must be another believer, brother. You don't want a job. You just say, God, you need to curse it like that. Oh, Lord, don't judge me. No, don't. Jesus know my heart. Yes, he do. That's the problem. We don't, but he do. They will be hated. It will cause confusion. And then they will betray one another. He wanted them Christians. The Holy Spirit just said, do you not know that there are so-called Christians, why other Christians don't get a promotion on a job? That would scare me. Because I don't want to have to stand before the Lord. Yes, Jesus, I'm begging you in. And he gave him the tape. He said, remember you went in there? And you spoke against them? And you knew they were your brother. Yeah, they went to the back and showed you the Pentecost. But they put their trust in me. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of the Moody Church of Chicago, wrote a book called There'll Be Tears at the Judgment Seat of Christ. Tears not because we're not making it in, but tears of remorse because of what we should have done, could have done, and didn't do, or how we did it. Let me move on. He said, they've been betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You better watch. Everybody that's prophesying is not a prophet. Let me rephrase that. Everyone that's prophesying is not prophesying according to God's direction. Because they tell you everything gonna be all right. Oh, you ain't got to take that. Some stuff you got to take. How do I know some things you got to take? Perfect example, an inside information. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes and prays, and y'all stay here. He goes to the Father, said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus asked God, is there another way to get this? Because I'm feeling the separation that's taking place between us. I'm feeling the remorse coming up. I'm feeling what I'm going through, and I don't like it. Is there another way we can do this? Jesus had to go through something. And in that time, from the time in the garden when he was praying and the disciples went to sleep until the time he died on the cross, everything that we deal with, he experienced. Betrayal, loss, hopelessness, separation from his Father. Have we not a high priest that has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but yet in all points were tempted as we were? False prophets will rise and deceive many. And because of the law, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Because of lawlessness. fast. I don't have to do that in here. This is my store. This public property. No, this is Randy's boutique. And you wear shoes and socks in here. I'm calling the police. Call the police because the police ain't paying for this idea. You know what? Christians get on my nerves. Them folks tell you to be at work at 8 o'clock, you there with bells on. Because you say, oh, I don't want to mess up my check. I don't want to get no points. But the pastor tell you to be at church, the one that's praying over your soul, the one that God wakes up in the middle of the night when he's trying to get some sleep, and God says, I need you to pray for them. And in his mind, because I'm a pastor, I feel it sometimes. In my mind, I say in my mind, I don't say anything. I'm saying to myself, they ain't been to church in forever, God. I try to text them like you told me to. I try to stay in communication with them. I try to love on them. I try to give them everything, and they don't even respond to the text. He said, I ain't asking none of that. I need you to pray for them now. I don't feel like it. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm the only person that ain't felt like praying for somebody. Come on now. This is tell the truth and shame the devil. But because we got inside information that he's working behind the scenes in their life, and it may just be that he's telling you to pray for them, has nothing to do with them, but everything to do with you. Then many false prophets arise, and because of the lawlessness, love of many, watch this, will wax cold. Anybody got a King James Bible? Can you read that 12th verse for me in the original King James, not the New King James?
It's on the screen.
It's on the screen. Now, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That phrase there, wax cold. In the Greek, it's pronounced, trying to remember, it's like pumi, something to the effect of P-O-O-K-K-H-U, something like that. But here's what it is. The love of many shall wax cold. The Greek word is the root word where we get psycho from. The Greek word of wax cold translated is where the base of psycho comes from, that word. We got psychos walking around here free. They ain't all locked up, y'all. Love wax cold. People drive, they cut you off, they ain't going nowhere but to 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven got plenty of coffee. They have no patience, no respect for you, no honor for you. As they, now, I'm not even talking about being a Christian, just being a human being. They steal my children at the bus stop. They get in the store. My brother was in New York. He said he works in the Dollar Tree, and said he was at the register, and there was a line. And this young lady, we know her mother, she cuts the line, comes up to the front. One of the people in line said, hey, we were already in line. She hauled off and cussed them all. My brother said, I cussed when I got embarrassed. He was like, what is wrong with you? Waxing cold. Have no emotional attachment to other human beings. But we got inside information. See, that's why you got to remember the things in your heart. You got to remember you got inside information. That he that begun a good work in is able to perform to the day of Jesus Christ. I know you're having trouble with it right now, but you got inside information. I went to the work the other day. I felt the darts in the parking lot. They was throwing so many darts at me. They was throwing at my car. I thought I had four flat tires. But I got inside information that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's why you shouldn't be surprised, because you got inside information. If God be for, who can be against me? I got inside information. I got inside information coming from a Levite when he says, "You will not lead the fight, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's." You're wasting energy on fighting fights that you shouldn't have to fight. That's why you can't win. He said, "Give me that same energy and praise and worship. And watch me do better." What's the rap song? Watch me work. God is sitting on the side and I said, I wish you would just watch me work. I wish you would just let me handle it. I wish you would just stop being surprised and caught off guard and say, God, yeah, you told us about that one. What you going to do about it? I'm going ahead and fry me some chicken. I'm not losing no sleep. God, thank you for the chicken, and thank you for taking care of that. What's that they say on the news? Okay. All right. Yes, sir. You told us to pray for presidents and rulers and those in authority, so we'll pray for them. Girl, turn the channel. Jeopardy coming on. Because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I know. Last scripture. Verse 13. Going home. I'm about to sit down. But he who endures to the end. He that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. It didn't say that you wouldn't cry till the end. It didn't say you wouldn't suffer some loss. Didn't say you wouldn't be persecuted. It didn't say that you wouldn't feel bad. It didn't say that you wouldn't be lonely. It didn't say you wouldn't be attacked. But you wouldn't be attacked. But it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Shall be saved. I'm going to be saved out of this current situation. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't even know how he's going to do it. But I know he's going to do it. How do I know he's going to do it? Because I got inside information. So I'm no longer surprised. I'm in expectation. He has begun a good work in you. I don't know why that keep coming back up in me. It's able to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He that has begun, it ain't over until he cracked the sky. He has been, you got some anointing all close by. If you don't, that's all right. Because you and I have been without positions too long. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This ought to be y'all prayer. But y'all need some musicians that you ain't got to pay an arm and leg. And they love the Lord and they love the ministry. And they love the pastor. He that begun a good work is able to perform it. Bring it on here, sister. Thank you, dear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare right now, God, that musicians and songsters will come and worship you like never before, that it will radiate from this place, that the sound of heaven shall reign, and it shall come down, and there'll be souls that will hear the music, and they will come for the music, for the gospel will touch them. They'll come and they'll be like, "I don't know. I pluck a guitar, pastor, so I don't mind plucking it." And he starts to pluck it, and God will anoint that plucking, and it'll become some beautiful melody. When we dedicate it to the Lord, we got to get on board with God and worship him, not for what he's already done, but for what he's about to do. We got to be in a high expectation, because we got inside information that everything is going to be all right, that God lies, Lord, but I'm ready, Lord. I've been lazy, but I'm ready, Lord. I've taken shortcuts, but I'm ready, Lord. I've messed up, but I'm ready, Lord. All I need is another chance. And I know that you are with me. I know that you'll be in me. I know that you'll lead and you'll guide me. And God, I will be safe in your arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we worship you. Oh God, we worship you, God. Oh, just talk to us for a moment. We appreciate you, God. We love you, Lord. There's none like you. None can be compared unto you. You haven't forgotten about us. Oh God, you still with us. Oh God, God, we're making a comeback like never before. What we've done before is not to be compared to what we are about to do. Through his name and through his power. Father, I praise you right now, Lord Father. Thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for what you've done. I'm in awe because I don't deserve the future work. Now, Lord, let the word fall to the ground. Let it bring forth a harvest. Let it fall, God, in the lives of your people. Let us not leave here the same, but change in Jesus' name. We pray for Pastor Devin's word. But you are the Lord, thy God, our healer. We got inside information. We got inside information. It just dropped on me. Some inside information. Keep praying for your children. He's bringing them in. He's bringing them in. He's bringing them in. I don't know who I'm talking to, but he's bringing them in.
Thank you, Lord.
They may worship a little differently than we do, but he's bringing them in. I don't know. Don't get in his way when he sends obstacles and challenges to make them come to him.
Thank you, Jesus.
If he gotta break them down to bring them in, let him do it.
Amen.
Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it his way. You've been praying, asking him to do it. Now he said, "Now, all right, I heard your prayer. Let me do it my way. I got this."